Okay. Good afternoon. It is December 21st, the meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board in Schenectady, New York. I'm Chairman John Sabini, joined by board members Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. As is our custom, we will open the meeting with public comment if there is any. Hearing none.
Just so you know that we did receive email comments from Jackson Leeds, and they will be attached to the minutes.
Thank you. Hearing none, I will then ask Acting Secretary Kristen Buckley to call the agenda.
Call meeting to order at 2:05. And approve the minutes of the board meeting held on November 29, 2011.
So moved.
Minutes from the board members. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Items previously approved or deferred by the chair. There are 22. Any discussion or questions?
Nope. Not here.
None. Items previously approved, denied, or deferred by the board. There were 15. Items to be approved, denied, or deferred by the board today. The first item is Capital District Regional OTB 2012 simulcast license application.
Mr. Casaravella.
Thank you, Chairman. OTB submitted its 2012 simulcast license application. Staff has reviewed it and is presenting the items to the board for consideration. Capital OTB is comprised of 17 participating municipalities. They have 32 branches. 34 Easy Bets, and 2 teletheaters. Capital OTB also offers, as you know, telephone and internet wagering, and employ approximately 250 full and part-time employees. Capital OTB's handle in 2010 was approximately $166 million, of which about approximately $28 million was made through telephone account wagering and $22 million through the internet. As you know, Section 524 of the Racing Law, which came into effect about a year ago, requires OTB corporations to now file annually their budget, no longer 20 days after their board adopts it. Capital OTB has informed staff that their board will adopt their 2012 budget at their January board meeting and will submit the budget to the Racing Board within the 20 days of adoption. Pursuant to Section 5100.23D, included with this application, the board must annually approve Capital OTB's Totalizator Security Plan. Staff reviewed the plan and found it to be in substantial compliance with the rules. Should be noted that Capital OTB has submitted, or the tow company has submitted, the SAS 70 equivalent audit of the tow system, which staff is currently reviewing, and a separate report will be presented to the board when that is done. Staff is recommending the board approve Capital OTB's 2012 simulcast license application.
Thank you. I'll add that the board was afforded the opportunity to inspect the soon-to-be-open teletheater in the parking lot of the old teletheater on Central Avenue, and I think it's fair to say, speaking to my colleagues, that we were pleased that the work that's been done and feel the atmosphere will be one that will be very friendly to the betting public and should be a great success for Capital down the road, and we look forward to its opening in 2012. Questions or comments on the item or anything related to Capital OTB? Hearing none, we'll move the application of Capital District Regional OTB's simulcast. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Capital Regional OTB 2012 simulcast license application.
Ms. Casaravella.
Thank you, Chairman. Capital OTB has submitted its 2012 simulcast license application. Staff has reviewed it, found it to be substantially complete. It's presenting it to the board today. Catskill OTB is comprised of 10 participating counties. They currently have 20 branches, 5 Easy Bets, and 1 teletheater. Catskill also offers telephone and internet wagering as well, which actually, I think the internet wagering began earlier in 2010. Catskill OTB has approximately 197 full and part-time employees. The total handle at Catskill OTB for last year was just under $100 million, of which
approximately $5 million was made through
telephone account wagering,
and $428,000 was made through the internet. And that, again, that was
started in the summer of 2010, our internet wagering platform. As noted in the previous application, Section 524 of the Racing Law requires OTB corporations to file its budget annually with the board. The Catskill OTB Board of Directors did approve the 2012 budget at their November 2011 meeting. That budget has been submitted to the board and is included with this application. Catskill OTB is projecting approximately $88 million of handle for 2012, with net revenue projected at approximately $11 million in operating expenses to be about $12.8 million. Therefore, Catskill is expecting or budgeting a net loss of approximately $1.7 million.
So
you know that Catskill OTB does have approximately $6 million in unrestricted cash and cash equivalents as of September 30th, 2011, which is their last quarterly filing with the board. Therefore, they demonstrate they have sufficient resources to meet their obligations for the year which they're applying for. Again, included with this application, pursuant to Section 5100.23D, the board must annually approve Catskill OTB's total security plan. Staff has reviewed this plan and found it to be in substantial compliance with the rules. The SAS 70 report for Catskill's tow provider, which is SportTech, has also been submitted and is being reviewed, currently being reviewed by staff. Staff recommends approval of Catskill OTB's 2012 SAS license application.
Questions or comments on the Catskill license application?
Yeah, Tom, just a quick one. In 2010, they handled $99.6 million, and then it says they're projecting $88 million in 2012. What's this year look like? The in between, or is it going down?
Yeah, I think the Catskill has been down. I want to say about 8%. I think that's been at the percentage that we're seeing at statewide, generally speaking, with a few exceptions, because of the effect of closure. New York City OTB had some entities. Right. The latest numbers are only through September, but I think it still shows about 8%, somewhere around there, decrease. So that's they're projecting. It looks like a similar type of decrease through 2012. It's racing handle, unfortunately, is down.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments on the Catskill application? Hearing none, we'll move it. The 2012 Catskill OTB simulcast license application. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Now I have a request to establish takeout rates.
Mr. Casarazzola.
Thank you, Chairman. The New York Racing Association wrote to the board December 19th requesting approval to reduce the takeout rates on all NYRA races for all exotic and super exotic bets. The current rates that NYRA has on their exotic bets are 26%, super exotic is 16%, super exotic with carryover is at 26%. They're proposing to change those rates to 24% exotic, super exotic at 15%, and super exotic with a carryover at 24%.
As I'm sure the board is aware, Chapter 115 of the laws of 2008 amended, among several other things, raising the minimum takeout rates NYRA uses on its own races. The takeout rates became effective September 15, 2008, and were to remain in effect through September 14, 2010. The rates were then set to revert back to the pre-2008 levels. The current takeout rates are within the current statutory provisions, except for exotic wagers. The highest rate that the racing law currently allows on exotic bets is set at 25%. NYRA's takeout on exotics is currently set at 26%, which was the September 15, 2008 through September 14, 2010 statutory amount. NYRA failed to reduce the takeout rates when the statutory provisions required it. The takeout rate on exotic bets on NYRA races used by NYRA and its guest facilities exceeded the maximum allowable bet by 1%.
As a result, the tracks and the OTBs retain more from the betting pools, and the winning bettors receive less.
This request before the board brings NYRA into compliance with the statutory provisions.
NYRA states they are requesting to lower the takeout rate an additional 1% to 24% to compensate their customers for the prior higher takeout. It should be noted that the allowable range set forth in statute for exotic wagers is 15% to 25%.
It's worth noting, I think, for reference, exotic wagers are bets such as trifecta, superfecta, pick three, grand slam, and the pick four. While this matter remains under review, staff recommends the board approve the request to bring NYRA's takeout on exotic wagers into compliance with statute. Furthermore, staff recommends that the board take the following actions in relation to approval of this request and consequences of the use of the excessive takeout rate for approximately 15 months. There are eight conditions. I will read them briefly. Number one, require NYRA to submit a letter from its tow company along with the relevant computer printout confirming the above rates. The letter must be filed with the board no later than 5 business days following this approval. By January 26, 2012, the second condition, by January 6, 2012, NYRA should be required to submit to the board adequate policies and procedures to implement the following requirements, 3 through 8. Number 3, by February 17, 2012, NYRA is to provide the board and all affected entities the recalculated payoffs in a report format. Number 4, by February 17 as well, NYRA shall identify all account holders, bearer accounts, of course by count numbers only, and W-2G winners with qualifying recalculated winning wagers. By no later than March 30th, 2012, NYRA shall credit the total amount due to qualifying account holders and W-2G winners. Number 6, by April 16th, 2012, NYRA must provide a report to the board listing the number of account holders and individuals that were credited with the additional amounts due. Number 7, NYRA must pay the bearer of the recalculated payoff and presented with an unexpired qualifying uncashed winning ticket on or after February 17, 2012. Such tickets shall be marked as paid as such, and the entity shall keep record of such ticket in report format. So in other words, if someone has an uncashed winning ticket, they need to have provisions in place to make sure they can pay the proper payoff. And in number 8, NYRA must develop policies and procedures and file them with the board on how they will pay the bearer of an unexpired qualifying uncashed winning ticket from the date of this approval until such time as the correct payoff amount can be calculated, but no later than February 17, 2012. Again, that's for those individuals that have an uncashed winning ticket currently and go to cash it until, before NYRA is able to provide the corrected payoff amount. In addition to those conditions, staff is also recommending that the board require each licensed New York State track and off-track betting corporation follow the following 5 procedures. By no later than January 6, 2012, they are submit to the board adequate policies and procedures to provide for any and all affected account holders and W-2G winners to submit a claim for reimbursement for affected corrected payoffs. By March 30, 2012, the entities must provide that all individuals who submitted a valid claim for reimbursement are to be credited the total amount due. By no later than April 16, 2012, a report is to be submitted by each entity to the board listing the number of individuals that were credited with additional amounts due. Each entity must pay the bearer the recalculated payoff if presented with an unexpired qualifying uncashed winning ticket on or after February 17, 2012. Again, such tickets shall be marked as paid as such, and the entity shall keep a record of each ticket in a report format. And number 5, each entity must develop policies and procedures and file them with the board on how they will pay the bearer of an unexpired, qualifying uncashed winning ticket from the date of this approval until such time as the correct payoff amount can be calculated, but no later than February 17, 2012. Again, the last 2 conditions are for those people with uncashed winning tickets to make sure they can pay the correct amount.
Okay. Let me just say that it's been determined, as Mr. Cazzarella noted, that since September 2010, that the takeout rate on wagers placed at NYRA or NYRA tracks was 1.2 high. Quick action is required by this board, just as we reacted quickly in the closing of New York City OTB, in order to make this correct, not just for the betting public, so that the mistake isn't compounded moving forward. The law that was passed giving NYRA the franchise had a rollback on the takeout that was not instituted. We're taking action today to protect the betting public and to correct a mistake. It's unfortunate that mistake wasn't discovered sooner and that the adjustments weren't made in a timely fashion. But this is NAIRA's responsibility now, and the board is eager to determine why this happened and why the adjustment wasn't made. By this action, we're going to require the New York Racing Association to set up a procedure to give qualified account holders their right to claim the rightful monies. This is a several-stage rocket here. NAIRA is going to bring the takedown down 2 points from where it was in order to compensate. Tell me if I'm wrong. And further than that, it was a determination by the board members that since so much has been made to both the account wagering system in the state, especially some of the actions we took in light of the closure of New York City OTB, that those folks actually have a record if they were shorted on their ticket. In addition, those folks that have tickets or cash tickets that required an IRS form, they'll have a record. To those that cash tickets in ticket form that didn't have accounts, we have no way of going back in time and figuring out what they're owed, but by dropping the takeout to a lower level, we'll at least make an attempt to make it whole, and in fact, we'll make New York racing more attractive in the year and change to come. But now we'll be required to set up a procedure to give the qualifying account holders the right to claim monies. That will include all eligible account wagering winners and those who can document with tax statements. The process has to be submitted to us and subject by board approval to ensure it's fair that the betting public gets the money they deserve and that it's an accessible process. And we'll monitor this process to ensure that NAIRA compensates the bettors appropriately. In addition, lowering its takeout 1% below the legislative maximum cap means increased earnings at NAIRA tracks and more money in bettors' pockets to compensate for the last 14 months. And as I said, we think that'll make things all the better in New York racing for everyone. Additionally, NAIRA has indicated that is prepared to make a donation to a charity engaged in the racing industry. We at the Racing and Wagering Board will use our investigatory and oversight powers to figure out if there is culpability here, and we'll at least consider NAIRA's charitable efforts as a good faith effort in any future sanctions or fines we might decide to levy. In addition, each and every entity in the state that took action on NAIRA tracks will have to come up with a procedure for their account wager holders and for those that got a tax statement on a bet they won to make good on those as well. And we expect those entities who did this to no fault of their own, because they're not NAIRA, but they took NAIRA bets, come up with a plan and submit it to us again to protect the wagering public, which is what our ultimate job here is to do. So that I congratulate our legal and audit staff for the hard work they put in the last 2 days to come up with this. I congratulate the board members for frankly helping to make sure that this gets as far as we can go to ensure that everyone is treated fairly and that no money that people are entitled to is lost, and that indeed in some ways the marketing of racing this year in New York State will be even better. There are those other entities who through no fault of their own will now have to jump through some hoops, and I'm sure we'll hear from them, but it is critical that we acted today before we let this problem go any further and further complicate it. In addition, there will be ramifications to simulcast signal folks throughout the country, but our main goal here is to protect New York betting public, and that's what I think we do today in the action that we have before us. And I ask my colleagues on the board if they have questions or comments. Mr. Diamond.
Chairman Sabine, as you know, and I mentioned this at quite a few more meetings, that the foundation of our board is based on integrity, fairness, and honesty. And as you mentioned, let me just echo your sentiments that it is imperative that the consumer is protected. So hopefully these conditions will help alleviate any concern that the consumer does have. And I don't expect that this will ever happen again. So thank you for your diligence.
Thank you. We'll then move the item on the request from NAIRA as as written up by staff, because it goes well beyond their request, for adjusted takeout rates. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. I urge all stakeholders in New York Racing to read carefully what we have done today so that you will be in compliance in the near future. Next item.
Sarah Cook and Harness request for approval of south entrance renovation.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. Saratoga Casino and Raceway requested board approval for south entrance renovation project. The request is dated November 28, 2011. As you know, the south entrance is the main entrance for live racing and is currently used by over 50% of their patrons. The project will consist of replacing all the current concrete walkway, the roof and the canopy, some landscaping, and a new irrigation system, as well as a smoking area. They anticipate starting construction in early spring and indicate there should be minimal inconvenience to the patrons and the racing customers. They expect to do as much work as possible prior to opening of the 2012 racing season. It's not anticipated that this project will have any adverse impact on racing, even if it is still being worked on during the beginning of the season. Attached is a copy of the construction permit issued by OGS dated November 18, 2011. As a result of the information presented and reviewed, staff recommends approval of this project as described in their letter and in the OGS permit in accordance with Section 322 of the Racing and Wagering Law. Staff also recommends that Saratoga Casino Raceway be reminded they will need to submit a request to the board for any work detailed in any future permits issued by OGS, along with a copy of the OGS permit related to this project.
Smoking areas, of course, outdoors?
Yes.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none. Well, I know I speak for my colleagues that Saratoga Harness does a great job in making sure that in the lust for VLT revenue that the racing product is not ignored and that the plant and equipment is always refreshed in a timely and innovative manner. All those in favor of the Saratoga Harness renovation proposal? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
The Jackson Club 2012 racing officials.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. The Jockey Club submitted request approval of two Stewarts to the Racing and Wagering Board for the 2012 calendar year. This request is made pursuant to 4023.1 of the Board Rules. Staff performed a limited suitability review for each of the Stewarts. They are Dr. William Hill for the New York Racing Association and Don Combs for Finger Lakes Racing Association. Suitability review was limited to review of public records, credit history, and licensing review. No disqualifying information was revealed on either of the individuals. The letter indicates that the appointments were ratified by the steward of the Jockey Club at their meeting held in November of 2011. Based on this information, staff recommends approval of both individuals.
We are lucky in New York to have Dr. Hill and Mr. Combs among our steward family. Dr. Hill in particular is now doing some study on international racing regulations and trying to get the United States into compliance on certain matters internationally. Questions or comments from the board?
Just ditto your remarks on both of them. We're lucky to have both of them.
Thank you. All those in favor of the Jockey Club racing officials for 2012?
Aye. Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Buffalo Raceway requests to amend player rewards program, giving eligible patrons casino free play.
Mr. Casaragola doing extraordinary duty today.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a very brief request from Buffalo Raceway. Dated October 24th, 2011, Buffalo is requesting approval to amend its player rewards program to issue reward of 1% in the form of casino free play to rewards members. They're apparently attempting to get some crossover in both betting types of betting offered at their facility. Staff recommends approval of the request.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move the Buffalo Raceway item amendment to player rewards program. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
NYRA 2012 race dates.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. NYRA is requesting approval of its 2012 race dates. They propose racing 251 days in 2012. The calendar or the summary of the race dates are presented before you.
As you can see, the Belmont Stakes will be held on June 9th, 2012. Travers Stakes will be held on August 25th.
A complete schedule of the race days, including post times and dark days, is attached
to this item. So days are comparable to the 2011 race dates,
with one more day being raced overall.
Pursuant to Section 208
of the Racing Law, NYRA, as a condition and as a condition of its franchise, NYRA shall apply
to the board for race days at its tracks in a manner substantially
similar to those in 2008. Staff has reviewed the 2008 race dates and found them to be substantially similar to those dates being applied
for 2012.
And NYRA has also included that they are substantially in compliance with the performance standards as set forth with this item.
Section 238.1D of the Racing Law also requires NYRA to race a minimum of 95 days at Aqueduct during the months of December, January, February, March, and April.
According to information presented, staff has determined that NYRA will race 100 days during those months and is therefore recommending approval of the requested dates.
Questions or comments on the NYRA race days?
Just three comments.
Mr. Diamond.
The important days, I guess, would be June 9th for Belmont Stakes Day, July 20th for Saratoga. They're all important days, but July 20th for the opening of Saratoga and August 25th for Travers. So mark your calendars and your audience. Who's listening?
Cancel birthdays, bar mitzvahs,
there you go.
Weddings. We'll move the item. All those in favor of NYRA's 2012 race days.
Aye.
Next item.
NYRA 2012 wagering menu.
Mr. Casarola.
Thank you, Chairman. NYRA has requested from the board approval of its wagering menu for 2012. The wagering menu is included with this item and is for the board. The
formats are applicable to 9 race cards. In the event NYRA holds an 11 race card, some wagering formats will generally move one race later, as has been done in previous years. Staff reviewed the relevant laws and rules, including Section 235.1 of the Racing Law, Parts 4009, 4010, and 4011 of the rules to ensure compliance. Staff found NYRA's menu consistent with the laws and rules, and notes that the request for minimum superfecta betting interest is consistent with the board's recent October 12, 2011 directive.
Staff has reviewed NYRA's letter and recommends the board the wagering menu for 2012 racing season, subject to the following changes and conditions. All wagering is to be conducted pursuant to the applicable New York State Codes, Rules, and Regs and the Board's October 12, 2011 directive regarding superfectas. 2, advanced wagering for Grade 1 stakes and international simulcast equivalents
is limited to the circumstances set
forth in the October 16th and 17th, 2008 correspondence between board staff and NYRA staff. NYRA is required to provide notice to the board of advanced wagering events prior to the conduct of advanced wagering. And lastly, that future pools hosted by NYRA will need separate approval and will be considered on a case-by-case basis. These are the same conditions as the substantially the 2011 racing menu that NYRA had. Staff is recommending approval of this item.
Thank you. My personal pet peeve, the phrase rolling daily doubles is in there. There's nothing daily about a rolling double, but that's just me. I guess we haven't had daily doubles since we had a late double. Questions or comments from the board? There are none. All those in favor of the wagering menu for NYRA, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Next item.
Monticello Raceway 2012 track and simulcast license application.
Mr. Casarola.
Thank you, Chairman. Monticello Raceway has submitted its 2011 and 2012 track and simulcast license application.
Staff has reviewed the application along with the supplemental information that has been requested from them.
Staff found the applications to be substantially complete. However, we did have some follow-up questions on the supplemental information that was requested. That information was recently submitted but is in the process of being reviewed by staff. Therefore, in the interim, since they're racing in January, staff is recommending the board sign the race dates applied for the month of January 12th While the information submitted is being completed.
So we're just going to do January.
What are we having our January board meeting? I'd say June, January, and February.
I'm hoping to have January, I believe, the Wednesday. I think it's January 22nd, but I haven't looked at everyone's
22nd.
I haven't looked at everyone's schedule yet.
I would suggest that in order to be safe with the condition book being to be put out, that it would be best to do.
And in light of the fact that who knows what weather will bring in January and...
And February's a short month.
Okay, so
I mean, I'd even go further that, I mean, because it's had all the other reviews, and if we get those informations, I didn't even, you know, do a walk around on this side before finish it up, and as I said, the minutes of the following.
I have no problem doing the rest of the application, but before the meeting, I don't have that problem.
I would recommend doing this at a board meeting. There are some issues, while not paramount to the integrity of racing, nevertheless some issues of ownership that the importance investigations in my office need to take a look at that may take a little bit of time to work through.
Never mind.
So you're suggesting January alone? Is that
no, January and February at this point.
Is that okay with you?
It's fine.
I tend to agree that you don't know what's going to happen in January, and if we miss a deadline or something, you know.
Makes sense.
We don't want to stop commerce in the Catskills. I will also say that Monticello always has the nicest applications of any of the entities. They're always well laid out, and they must have little to do up there in Monticello. But if you're listening, thank you for your fine application. So we will now move the Monticello Raceway 2012 track and simulcast application for the months of January and February. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. And heavy, next item.
Buffalo Raceway 2012 track and simulcast license application.
Mr. Casargola.
Thank you, Chairman. The Buffalo Trotting Association has requested or submitted its 2012 track and simulcast license applications. Staff has reviewed the applications and found them to be substantially complete, with the exception of some additional information that we requested for clarification on the supplemental information from them. We did receive some information from Buffalo. Again, it came in recently and staff is in the process of reviewing it. Therefore, until such time as we're able to complete that review, we're recommending that the board approve the race dates that they applied for January, and I think it would be wise to for February as well.
As a purely technical matter with regard to the preceding item, this item, and I presume the next item as well involving Yonkers race dates, technically I think that the board is deferring the actual item and assigning the race days only, as opposed to approving any part of the actual application.
Okay.
Are we doing the same thing with Yonkers? We got the same issues. Might as well just do it now.
Clarify this for me, because I'm a little...
The actual item before the board is consideration of approving or not approving the 2012 track and simulcast license applications. But since the board is not affirmatively granting or affirmatively denying, if you will, the applications, but instead assigning...
For the license.
License application.
And they would conduct the racing in those months under continuing rights.
That's correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure that...
So therefore, the board is deferring action on the actual applications for the licenses. Okay.
So, other questions or comments about Buffalo? Hearing none, we will then move the item on the Buffalo Raceway track and simulcast dates for January and February. All those in favor?
Aye.
Items approved as amended. Next item.
Yonkers Raceway 2012 track and simulcast license application.
What Mr. Firestein said, ditto. Questions or comments on Yonkers? We congratulate newly elected Mayor Spano. We will now move the application for Yonkers Raceway track and simulcast dates for January and February. All those in favor?
Aye.
Another heavy application. Next item.
Western Regional ATV Batavia Downs return for expansion of the South Smoking Room on the Batavia Downs Casino Gaming Floor.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. Western OTB as Batavia Downs is requesting board approval for expansion of the South Smoking Room on the Batavia Downs Casino Gaming Floor. Board approved construction of a smoking room on the casino floor back in March of 2007. Western has informed staff that this current project will increase the amount of space in this room, which will allow them to install more video gaming machines and make the area more comfortable for its patrons. They have obtained the necessary waiver from the Genesee County Health Department to allow smoking to continue in this room. They have also informed staff they anticipate construction to begin on this project on or about January 4th, 2012, and estimating completing the project approximately in 1 month on February 3rd. Batavia Downs does not have any live racing scheduled during this time, in fact, not until July 2012. Therefore, there will be no impact to racing during construction. A copy of the construction permit issued by the City of Batavia is attached. It's dated December 12, 2011. As a result of information presented, staff recommends approval of this project as described in the information submitted in the permit in accordance with Section 322 of the New York State racing laws. Staff also recommends that Western OTB and doing business as Batavia be reminded that they will need to submit a request to the board for any work detailed in any future permits issued by the City of Batavia along with a copy of the permit related to this project.
I'll just remind the board members, or underline for the board members, that they do have a waiver from Genesee County as prescribed by law to have indoor smoking. Questions or comments on a Western Regional OTB Batavia Downs expansion of their South Smoking Room? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
NIRA 2012 Racing Officials.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. This request from NIRA is for approval of its racing officials as required by law. They're requesting 28 Category 1 racing officials, 5 Category 2 officials, and 2 Category 3 officials. The officials are NIRA's roster racing, are listed in NIRA's roster racing for 2012. The list of the Category 1, 2, and 3 officials is included in this memo. There are several, so I will leave to the board to review. Officials are separated in categories, you will note. Category 2 officials include all who serve as alternates in various capacities other than as a steward or a veterinarian in the event of a temporary absence of the designated official. Category 3 includes stewards and alternate stewards. The alternate steward will serve in the position of a NIRA steward or the jockey club steward in the event of a temporary absence of the designated official. All other racing officials are designated as Category 1. Staff performed a limited suitability review for each of the racing officials submitted in their letter. Review is limited to credit history review, public record search, and board licensing history review, as well as verification of state education department certification for veterinarians and verification of racing officials accreditation program for stewards and alternate stewards. Staff's review discloses no derogatory information on any of the individuals listed in NIRA's request. Although staff is awaiting more information to complete the suitability review for Diane Connor, Trinity Nemeti, and Dr. Leslie Karchek, staff recommends approval of all racing officials in NIRA's requests through December 31, 2012, with the exception of the above-named individuals. The latter three individuals should be approved. We're recommending be approved for only 1 month for January 12 while staff completes the suitability review.
These are officials involved in the actual conduct of racing rather than officials of NIRA's management. Any questions or comments from the board?
Was there a reason why those other suitability things were late, Tom?
No, there's nothing in particular. Some suitability reviews are more in-depth than others just because of the situation of the individuals, and this is not an indication of their ultimate suitability. It's just that it required additional time.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item of NIRA's 2012 racing officials. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Notice of proposed rulemaking testing of claimed horses.
Mr. Feierstein, it looks like you have the burden of the rest of the agenda after Tom has done all the
hard work.
Heavy lifting here of several pounds.
Thank you. This is the only rulemaking before the board today. It's the staff's recommendation that the board approve a proposed rulemaking involving the equine drug testing of claimed horses. As the board is aware, the current rules, as they have been for many years, requires the mandatory testing of any horse that's claimed. This establishes a service, if you will, for those who choose to acquire ownership of horses in claiming races, but nevertheless taxes to some extent the board's resources, both in terms of personnel involved in collecting the samples and the laboratory's resources in testing the samples. The staff solicited pre-industry comments with regard to the concept of repealing the requirement for testing claimed horses. The original solicitation to the industry was for comment on a total repeal of the requirement so that horses would not be tested because they were claimed. Instead, they would be tested only in the event that they were otherwise subject to testing based on order of finish or some other reason in the discretion of the judges or the stewards, as the case would be. There were two responses received, one from Finger Lakes, which opposed the change, and another from the Empire State Harness Horsemen's Alliance. Both pointed out that the testing of claimed horses is a valuable function for the claimants who acquire ownership of the horses, and although they express sensitivity to the financial situation. As a result, in consultation with the board members, staff redesigned the rule and resubmitted it and resubmits it now to the board as an optional claiming process. In other words, there would be an option where a claimant could elect at the time of submitting the claim to choose to have a drug test performed on the claimed horse in return for paying the prescribed fee, which we approximate at this point to be about $150. In this way, the service and the value of it would, in essence, be preserved for the benefit of the claimant, but would not impose an adverse financial impact. So staff is recommending that the board approve this concept as the proposal. If approved, this will go through a review process at the executive chamber in the governor's office and the division of the budget. And if ultimately approved for publication, it would then go into the state register with an official 45-day comment period.
Board members will note in their packet that the comments from Mr. Palermo from the Finger Lakes horsemen are actually addressed by our modification, and that he says that, you know, why isn't there an option to test? And you'll have the option now at your cost if you determine. This does not prevent us from testing claimed horses who win, correct?
Oh, that's correct. And I should add,
if the steward determines that a horse should be tested in the course of business, this does not preclude that as well.
Yes, and I should add it, which I should have stated earlier, that in the event a horse is otherwise subject to testing, let's say the horse finished first and was claimed, then the claimant who elected to have that horse tested and has prepaid the fee will get that fee refunded.
What a deal.
Questions or comments on our new rulemaking on claim testing of claimed horses? In the spirit of budget responsibility, are those in favor of the new rulemaking on testing of claimed horses? Aye.
Aye.
Next item.
In the matter of Richard Bigo.
We now have adjudications in front of us, starting with the Jones case. Mr. Feierstein.
Thank you. This case involves a TCO2 level that was reported to be excessive in harness racing, and is an appeal by Mr. Richard Jones, who is a harness racing trainer. There was imposed in this case by the presiding judge at Yonkers Raceway a 75-day license suspension and $2,500 fine in relation to the TCO2 finding involving the horse Determined This, which competed at Yonkers Raceway on October 30th, 2010. I would note that the presiding judge imposed what is the minimum sanction under the TCO2 rule, a 75-day and $2,500 fine. There was a hearing here scheduled and held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. The hearing officer has submitted the report, which the board has before it with the record, and the hearing officer recommends that the violation be sustained and that the fine be upheld, but that the license suspension be modified upward to 90 days.
Shouldn't it read from 75 to 90 days?
It should. The original was 75. The hearing officer recommends 90.
Questions or comments on the matter of Richard Jones? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next item, item was approved.
That's with the increase in the
days. Yes.
Yep.
In the matter of Robert T. Lounsbury.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is an appeal by harness racing trainer Lounsbury from a $50 fine imposed by the presiding judge at Monticello Raceway in relation to equipment used for the horse Rick, which competed in the second race on November 17th of 2010. It was alleged that this was a violation of Rule 4104.7 dealing with equipment changes. There was a hearing conducted before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer, and Mr. Parente recommends that the violation be dismissed and also that there is no sufficient proof of any of the other violations alleged in the notice of hearing.
Proving that we actually analyze these cases carefully. Questions or comments from the board on the Lounsbury matter?
I almost think we should pay the $50 fine when they ask for a hearing. It's not worth it for us to hold a hearing for a $50 fine. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Justice was served here.
Well, justice was served, but it's...
Due process sometimes comes at a cost.
That's right.
Oh, remember that.
Freedom isn't always free, man.
Can I write that? Freedom isn't always free.
Freedom isn't always free.
You guys are coming at me too fast with these. I got to write them all down.
So any other questions or comments on the Lounsbury case?
Yeah, freedom isn't free.
Hearing none. All those in favor of the hearing officer's report?
Aye.
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 So the charge didn't stick on Rick. Next item.
In the matter of Todd J. Mabb.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is an appeal by Mr. Mabb, who is a harness racing groom applicant. There was a staff level denial of the license application based on a finding that Mr. Mabb's experience, character, and fitness are such that his participation in racing would be inconsistent with the public interest, convenience, or necessity, or with the best interests of racing generally. There was a hearing scheduled and held before Mr. Parente. After consideration of the record, Mr. Parente submitted the report that you have before you with the record. It is the hearing officer's recommendation that the license denial should be upheld, but that after the passage of a sufficient time without negative behavior, that the board should act favorably on a future application.
Questions or comments from the board?
Obviously not our Mr. Kellogg, right?
No, this was not. This was a Mr. Kellogg who employs Mr. Mabb.
No, I saw
it. This was under the old
noticing the
time will tell.
Time will tell. Hearing no other questions on the matter of MAB, all those in favor of the hearing officer's report being adopted?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
In the matter of Peter J. Sala.
This is thank you. This is also an appeal from a staff-level denial of a license application. In this case, Mr. Sava applied to be licensed as a harness racing owner. The application was denied on a finding that Mr. Sava's experience, character, and fitness as such, that his participation in racing would be inconsistent with the public interest, convenience, or necessity, or with the best interest of racing generally. There was, as in the prior case, a hearing held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer, and it is the hearing officer's recommendation contained in the report before you with the record that the appeal be denied. The hearing officer noted that he does not find sufficient evidence to reverse the reasoned determination of the licensing division.
I'll note for the record that one of the things in the person's background is a bribery of a public official. Not the kind of thing we want to have, having a racing license, or at least not for me, speaking for myself. Questions or comments on the Sava matter? Hearing none. All those in favor of holding the hearing officer's recommendation?
Aye.
Item is approved.
Just so you know, there's six items to board and for discussion, and there were two follow-up items. And I will adjourn the meeting at 2:56.
I want to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, good holiday season to all, and see you in 2012. Thank you.